Brian Lawton of the NHL Network, former GM, agent, and player. Thanks for this, Brian. You know, we're looking at the Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens, both teams really struggling at this point in time. But I think in the overall, maybe it's more surprising out of the Habs, who projected to be a quality team in the Eastern Conference this year, and they haven't been trending that way for a long time. Does a trade need to be made for the Habs to get them back on track?
I certainly think there needs to be a little bit more analysis at where they're at. They have not played really much better than 500 over the last couple months here. You know, after a terrific start and high hopes and everybody being excited about, you know, what was a massive retooling of the club on the fly. When you think about trading PK Subban and bringing in Weber, you think about signing Radulov, bringing a guy like Andrew Shaw to give him a little bit more character in the room, and everything just worked so well early on. But ever since Carey Price has looked a little more pedestrian, their team has looked pretty average.
Yeah, they certainly have, Brian. More likely scenario in Montreal, a major trade or a coaching change?
Major trade for me. I think Marc Bergeron's pretty patient with his coaches. I don't see him making a coaching change at this moment, although I have to tell you it's a little bit in vogue with some of the reactions that clubs have gotten. It's not really that normal for a coach to do what Doug Weight has done. It's not that normal for a coach to do what Mike Yeo has done in St. Louis, you know, obviously replacing Ken Hitchcock and Jack Capuano. Those organizations have had some pretty good pops. Not really the cases we've seen in Florida. The team is essentially the same under Tom Rowe as it was under Gerald Gallant.
Yeah, and Bruce Cassidy with the Bruins working out pretty well as well. Brian, there seems to be a lot of talk around Matt Duchene, who is obviously a quality player, still in the prime of his career, and Colorado, I mean, given their season, maybe looking to go in a different direction. Habs might have to give up quite a bit. Like, what do you think a price tag the Colorado Avalanche would have on Matt Duchene right now?
There hasn't really been any details as to what Joe Sakic wants other than the price has been rumored to be, certainly from the general managers I've spoken with, incredibly high. I've had a couple guys ask me, what do I think? And what I think is that Joe Sakic is very, very close with his ownership there. He has a lot of clout as a former, you know, star of that club. I think it allows him to be more patient than probably most people could, considering how that club has played and how disastrous they've been all year long. So I think that's going to gum it up a little bit. If there's a chance it gets done, I do think we're getting into that territory now. I do hear there's a little bit of softening as far as what people want. A lot in today's world, it's not necessarily what we used to think a lot is. A lot used to be, you know, the Peter Forsberg trade to the Nashville Predators, where you get, you know, where you get that talk of a first-round pick, a top-notch prospect, and a player off your roster. We're in a different world now. That's not necessarily commensurate with what, you know, the value of a first-round pick is in today's salary cap. So a lot to me, honestly, from a team like the Habs would definitely entail a first-round pick. But after that, it's up for interpretation.
Yeah, it certainly is, and there should be multiple teams in on that if that is a possibility. Brian, I wanted to discuss a pretty ugly incident yesterday in the Minnesota Wild-Detroit Red Wing game. Gustav Nyquist spears Jared Spurgeon in the face. He was invited for an in-person hearing, which could mean six or more games. When the NHL rules on this, what is your anticipation of how long this actual suspension will be?
Well, I was at that game yesterday, and I obviously have seen the replay a zillion times since it's happened. I think it's pretty clear he's going to get at least six games. I think Duncan Keith, Charlie Coyle, another Minnesota Wild player, was an ugly incident that entailed five regular season games and one playoff game. I think that's the type of territory he's in. I'm not quite sure how we value one playoff game, but I think it's certainly worth more than one regular season game. So I could see him getting anywhere in the 8 to 10 game range. Now, I don't particularly think Nyquist did this on purpose. I know he wanted to high stick him. And when I say I don't think he did it on purpose, he absolutely wanted to high stick him on purpose. I don't think he meant to stick him in the face like that. This is a guy that had 10 penalty minutes in essentially his previous 55 games. He doesn't really have a history of this. Unfortunately, and I think he's going to find this out the hard way, is you are responsible for your stick at all times. And if you are intending to retaliate, and he clearly was, I think you're going to pay a really stiff price in today's world. Ultimately, this is one I was talking to somebody yesterday about it. I said, geez, if he were on my team and I was the general manager, I would go in there really hard and say, look, I got cross-checked, you know, a foot and a half from the boards. It's the most dangerous play in hockey. Everybody knows it. I retaliated. I shouldn't have hit him in the face. I wasn't trying to. And you just ask for mercy. That's about his best case that he could make. And that is what will happen. I'm sure Ken Holland will be on the call and will make those points. Jared Spurgeon gives him a pretty high cross check, you know, through the back, across the numbers. As a player, I can tell you, you don't like that. But in the end, you're still responsible for your stick, and you're not allowed to turn around and just spear a guy in the face.
Yeah, I have him down for about 10 games myself, Brian, if we're taking an educated guess. The other aspect of this, and it really hasn't been discussed, but how do the officials on the ice only manage to give Nyquist a four-minute double minor for that? Just the way the stick swung and the official is only feet away from it, wouldn't that automatically be or should be a game misconduct?
I think in retrospect, clearly the guys are not going to feel great about that call on the ice. At the same time, certainly the official out in the neutral zone is pretty far away to get a good read. The down-low official should have had a much better read. I never got a chance in the replay to see where he's at and his vantage point. But, I mean, that's one that's going to get looked at. And unfortunately, I don't believe that, you know, they made the right call on the ice. It does happen. It's a fast game. That's why we have replays. That's why we have a Department of Player Safety. You know, ultimately, what should it have been? Yeah, it should have been a five-minute major.
Former GM, agent, and player in the National Hockey League, Brian Lawton, joining us here on Sportsnet today. Brian, the Leafs have been struggling, losing 6 of 8, and their spot in the playoffs is, they don't have much of a cushion anymore. Is this kind of just, is it a rookie wall getting hit? Is this the flaws in their decor starting to show up? A little bit of bad goaltending right now from Frederik Andersen, or maybe all of it kind of mixed into one?
I would definitely say all of it mixed into one with one other category added in it, and that is the games are starting to ramp up. And we saw this the other night with the Chicago Blackhawks stopped by and paid the Edmonton Oilers, who look like they're going to be in the playoffs for the first time in 10 years, a visit at home and really spanked them hard. I mean, it was a different level. A team like the Maple Leafs, like the Oilers, they're going to see that type of play more often down the stretch here. And you can rest assured, Mike Babcock is, you know, obviously a tremendous coach of this league. He's aware of it. He'll be doing everything he can to whip these guys into shape. But some of the problems you just talked about, and even the timing of just not that A-plus goaltending they've been getting really since after about the first 25 days of the season, that's going to hurt the Leafs. I still think they're fine. I still believe they'll make the playoffs. But they might get their rear end handed to them a few more times here until they make the adjustments to the next level that they're going to have to if they want to, you know, really be considered not just a playoff team, but a team that can compete for the Cup.
Last one, and then we'll let you go, Brian. I mean, the Washington Capitals, they can't be beaten by anybody, especially on home ice these days. Is this their year? Or are they going to run into the same playoff issues that they have in the past?
I never picked the Washington Capitals to make it, even to the finals. This year I have. I do believe, and I feel more confident in that since the season's played out. Last year was a lot of flash and dash. It was a historic year for them. They ended up chasing some records down the stretch. I think it was a mistake. I think it was a horrible mistake for them. I think they've learned, and that's what I love about Barry Trotz. He's one of the most learned coaches in this league. They just seem to be all business this year. They are by far the deepest team in all areas. But they've toned down some of the hype. They're just going out like professionals, winning games on a nightly basis, getting more contributions than ever from people up and down the lineup, particularly for me recently here. This is where I give Barry Trotz a lot of credit, is finding a way to get Lars Eller, to get Burakovsky, and even a rejuvenated Brett Connolly, that third line essentially, more involved in the offense. They've spread it around nicely. If this team can make one trade at the deadline, then I think they'll be everybody's favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And that trade could be a guy like Martin Hanzel, one more, you know, forward that you know you can win with in the playoffs, or even one more D to give him a little bit more depth back there, particularly in that 4-5 range. But they, aside from even doing that, are a club that this should be their year. They should be able to get by the Penguins. I don't really see anybody else that's going to stop them in the East. And then all bets are off for the finals. But, yeah, I've been incredibly impressed by them. They've been by far the best team in the National Hockey League this year.